السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كلامه المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. صدق الله العظيم. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah and that His beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, His protection, His blessings, and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful individuals, both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We are reminded time and again that it is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, that has the answers to all of our questions. We are also reminded time and again that our beloved teacher Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world to explain to us the meaning and message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a grand job, a phenomenal job in conveying the message and in teaching humankind, mankind, what their obligations were. The companions, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, took that message from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and conveyed it to those individuals around and after them, and those individuals to those around them and after them, and so forth. That so many centuries and generations later, we still have the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We still have with us the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unadulterated and untouched. That we are still able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the exact format as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did over 1400 years ago. That is an honor for us. Now we take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Qur'an. Many pertain to us directly, many indirectly. Many pertain to us in this life, and many will pertain to us in the hereafter. Wherever they may be, an individual takes the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is able to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is able to look at the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be able to say that in this ayah, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing me directly. That is another miracle of the Qur'an, that an individual can take so many verses of the Qur'an and is able to say that I am being addressed directly in this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recited a few moments ago the beginning verses of Suratul Hajj. As we all know, the season of Hajj, we approach the season of Hajj, and many individuals in our community will be performing Hajj soon. Many of the ayahs of Hajj that pertain to Hajj are mentioned in this surah. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah, through the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not begin this surah with anything that has to do with Hajj per se. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqoo rabbakum. O people, fear your Lord. O people, be conscious of your Lord. O people, remember your Lord. اتقوا ربكم. And again, I've discussed this many times before, that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses either mankind or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers. In those ayahs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically addressing the believers. But in this ayah, like many other ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the entire mankind. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqwa rabbakum. O mankind, fear your Lord. That is our obligation. That is our duty. That we are to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll give you a reason. If you want a reason why you should fear your Lord, let me give you a reason. Inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un azeem. That verily, the earthquake of the hour is a grand thing. It's something very large. The earthquake of the hour, the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to that day, the day of judgment. Not this world, not the grave, not the life of the grave. Rather, the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's a great thing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it and gives us a few examples. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا. That day you will see. تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. That every nursing mother will throw away her child. Which mother throws away her child? Which mother takes her child and says, oops, I'm going to let you go on the ground? Which mother does that? Even if you're not a mother or father, every individual has the sense that when you are holding a small child, a child that's a few months old, whether you're a parent or not, you know that that individual, that child is very delicate, and we hold it with both of our hands. We guard it with our life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by describing this day and says that this day, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. That every nursing mother will throw away that nursing child out of her fear of the earthquake. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. And every pregnant mother will drop that which is in her stomach out of fear. They will be so scared that fear will reach such a level that that pregnant mother will bear, that child will come out, that will drop that child. It'll come out of the stomach. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and says, now these two examples, maybe they don't make sense to us. To some of us, maybe we don't understand what that means. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. And you will see that the people are drunk. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. You will see that the people are drunk. They're running. You know, you see a drunk driver. How does a drunk driver drive? You know, you're driving on the freeway, when you see a car that's weaving in and out, you know that that individual's drunk. You have individuals driving in the opposite direction on freeways. You know that that individual is drunk. Right? We someone doesn't stop at a stop sign. We know that an individual is drunk. When we're walking down the street and a person is weaving, we know that that individual is drunk. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. That will be the day when you will see individuals drunk. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. And in reality, they will not be drunk. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. But it is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will be very severe. It is due to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear that individuals will have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these are the things that will happen. Now this is an ayah. This ayah describes the day of judgment. This ayah describes the day of judgment. Just a few days ago, obviously many of us that live here in this valley experienced an earthquake. This was the largest earthquake, they say, since 1989. Now I, by the way, remember that earthquake. The reason I remember it is totally different. It was the World Series. The A's and the Giants were playing. Right, the A's, it was called the Battle of the Bay. The San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's were playing, and the game was just about to begin. And I still remember I was pouring some milk out of the can into my cereal. And the earthquake began. I still remember this very well. So much so that I, you know, as a young child thought, well, my house is shaking, so what's the next thing you're doing? Let's run outside. Although we are taught in school, stop, drop and roll. Right? Run down, go under a table and so forth. But my first instinct was to run outside because obviously it's not shaking outside. That's your instinct. I ran outside, that it was shaking there as well. So they say that the earthquake that we had on Tuesday evening was the largest since that earthquake. The earthquake was definitely a large earthquake. Now, for those individuals who have who haven't lived in California in a while, this was probably one of your first major or large earthquakes. For individuals like myself who've lived here for a while, this was probably my sixth or seventh large earthquake that I've experienced. Which also means that, you know, I know that just as it comes, it's going to stop in a few seconds. Right? Just as it comes, it's going to stop in a few seconds. You just pray that the building that you're standing in is still standing along with you. The earthquake came. Now obviously all of us here had a different experience. Some of us might have been driving on the computer, watching TV, having dinner, whatever it was. In many cases, individuals, Muslims, in our area, because it happened at 8:04, many of us were praying Isha. Especially if you happen to be in the masjid, you happen to be praying Isha. In our case here, we were in the second rak'ah, we were reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and I continue to recite as the earthquake began. And I continue to recite in my mind, knowing and thinking, well, it's going to end any second now. It came to a point, now by the way, an earthquake is never more than 5 or 7 seconds, and that too if it's really bad. But it came to a point where we here in our masjid literally ran. In the middle of our prayer, we ran. Some individuals ran outside, some individuals ran to the wall, some individuals ran under the doorway and so forth. In many of the other masajid in the area, it was just a large shake. Some individuals continue to read and so forth. But the point I'm trying to make, wherever we might have been, every single one of us that at least felt the earthquake or the aftershock the next day, the point I'm trying to make is that ask yourself where you were and ask yourself what you were doing. That this small earthquake of 5 seconds, that's a little over 5.6 on the Richter scale, right? 5.6, we can't even think. Right? A small earthquake like this, we can't think. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to run. We don't know where to run. I mean, literally you're standing in a house, you don't know where to run. You're in panic. You've been told, many of us that grew up here, we've been told, stop, drop and roll. But that's not the first thing that comes to your mind. The first thing that comes to your mind is, what am I to do? What is my wife doing? What is my husband doing? Where are my children? That's the first thing that comes to you. These are the things that run through your mind. And this is a 5 second earthquake, 5.6 on the Richter scale in this dunya. How can we even begin to imagine the earthquake of the hereafter? Now by the way, as Californians, we should be thankful to Allah that at least we can experience an earthquake so that we know, there's a whole different way to look at it, we've at least experienced an earthquake that we know a little of what may happen on the Day of Judgment. But there's many individuals who don't even have that experience. They don't even know what an earthquake is, what it feels like. Now there's obviously an earthquake happened, many different things happen, and we carry on with our life. That evening, I happened to be on a Yahoo groups of clergy, of priests and rabbis and so forth. I sent out an email and I began by saying, I hope everyone is doing well and so forth. And my next question was, what does your religion or the theology that you ascribe to have to say about an earthquake? The answers were very, very different. The answers came from all different directions. And interestingly enough, I happen to disagree with many of the answers, due to which we are having a discussion next week, and this is all that we're going to be discussing. But the point is, as believers, as Muslims, as individuals who believe in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who believe that the Quran is the book of Allah and who believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the teacher that taught us the Quran, our question to ourselves is, what is an earthquake? As a believer, what do I have to say to an earthquake? Is it just a natural phenomenon? Something happens under the face of the earth after so many years and a plate moves and an earthquake happens. Is that what it is? Or is it what the Qur'an tells me? Is it what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds me? That it's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it could be a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be a sign to the humankind that you need to wake up and see what you're doing. It could be a sign that this is just a small portion of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It could be, by any means, a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do bear in mind, we are an ummah, we are a community that is not pessimistic. Rather, we are an ummah that is optimistic. We look forward to life. We take whatever comes in our direction, we take it. and we, whatever challenge it is, we overcome that challenge and we believe that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as human beings, we also need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that sometimes He shakes us a little. In whatever form or manner it may be, whether it be fires, whether it be earthquakes, and we need to wake up that this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when Katrina happened last year, we spoke of something similar. But I still remember either getting an email or getting a picture, and I don't recall exactly what it was. But there was a church somewhere in the Midwest, and I don't know the exact words that were on the, placed on the sign outside, but they were something to the effect that this Katrina is a sign and punishment from Allah, is a sign and punishment from God. Wake up and oversee your actions. See what you're doing wrong. And this was being addressed to individuals that lived around them, although they were not affected by the Katrina. So as we look around us, as we look around us, and we obviously now we can have a whole discussion and argument, and I don't wish to go there, that we have the San Andreas fault and the Calaveras fault and all these faults that happen to be in the state of California and so forth and so forth and so forth, which is fine and understandable, it's fine and dandy, but at the same time we need to realize that a zalzala, an earthquake, is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us may take it as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us may take it as a sign that there's something I as an individual am doing wrong and I need to correct myself. Some of us may take it as a sign and say that this is the wrath and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may understand it differently, but all in all we need to understand and realize that it is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let me take you in a totally different direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an describes many different ummas, many different communities. Right? In وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that to this tribe we sent this Nabi, to this tribe we sent this Nabi, to this tribe we sent this Nabi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also explains to us which Nabi was sent to which tribe, what they did wrong, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions the method of punishment. One of the tribes that a prophet was sent to was the tribe and the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was sent to his people, he was sent to his community. These were individuals who practiced the act of sodomy. These were individuals who copulated with individuals of their own gender. Right? This was the action due to which they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the action due to which they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we realize that this was something that existed. This was a Nabi sent to the people so that they could be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those individuals out of that community that were guided, and for those individuals who did not heed to the teachings of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that in the Qur'an in various different places, but in one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ مَنْضُودٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا. When our time came, when our punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives time. The sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite to individuals, gives respite and time to communities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a zalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish anyone for any reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely merciful. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and continues to give. Allah gives and continues to give. I mentioned this a few years ago, an individual once said, and I remember this very well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives, Allah takes, Allah makes no mistakes. Allah gives, Allah takes, Allah makes no mistakes. Allah is very merciful. And among the things that He gives to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us time as well. But that time is to a certain moment. that time will either end with our death, or that time will either end with a punishment if someone was doing something wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in this ayah and says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا, when our time came, when our punishment came, جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we took those that were on top and threw them at the bottom. They were literally picked up and thrown around. They were literally picked up and thrown down. That was their punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّلٍ مَّنْضُودٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we rained on them baked clay, stones or rocks made of baked clay. We rained on them. You know how it rains? And then sometimes it hails, right? We know the difference. There's the spring, you know, it showers. Sometimes it sprinkles, sometimes it showers, sometimes it rains, and sometimes it rains even harder. And as we're driving our cars, the speed on our, the wipers go, you know, either higher or lower with the rain. And sometimes it hails. And it makes a sound. Now hail, you know, if you stand outside, it doesn't hurt you. But just imagine being standing somewhere where there's rocks coming down at you. Naturally, it's going to hurt you. And depending on the size of the rock, it may either harm you or it may even kill you. That is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Landslides. When you see a landslide and you're driving down the freeway and they have these big nets along the mountain, these are rocks, right? If you're a driver, if you drive far and, you know, to far different places, we in this state have signs that says be careful, you know, landslides or rocks falling down or whatever. I don't recall these signs. I got my license many years ago. But the point I'm trying to make is that if someone were to stand by a mountain where these rocks came pouring down, they would either harm us or they would either kill us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the punishment of the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam of these two. They were picked up and thrown down. In essence, an earthquake. If there was a very large earthquake, as scientists say that's going to happen in the state of California in the next 50, 100 years, whatever they have to say. Now, what's going to happen? What happens in an earthquake? The earth breaks, opens up, what's outside goes inside, what's inside comes outside. That's pretty much what happens. When roads crack, when there's a crack on the asphalt, when there's a crack on the ground, this is pretty much what happens. If there's a mountain and the mountain is to break and come tumbling or rumbling down, and these rocks come down, what are we to say? That there's a plate underneath the earth that moved and this was just nature taking its course? Or is this a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah, as we all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with creating the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to sustain the earth and the individuals that live on it. And everything that happens on the face of this earth happens with the hukm and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could we forget that? So that when an earthquake comes, it's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now do bear in mind, we take the earthquake that we have, and we take the act of sodomy, and the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and what do we see? We see similarities here. That their punishment was something very similar. They were taken up and thrown down. And every individual, now when a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes upon a community, every individual, good or bad, they get inflicted with it. Because we all believe that our eternal reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the hereafter. So if something were to happen to an individual or to a community, our reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being said, we also understand that we happen to live in an area, in a community, in a land, not necessarily in a land, but definitely we are very close to the capital of the individuals who practice this act. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to pack up our bags and run away. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm just trying to say that when we know, now that this also doesn't mean that we can attribute, oh, this earthquake, as believers we believe that this earthquake happened because of these individuals who live in San Francisco. No. It could be because of my own action. It is our own actions. We attribute everything to our own self. Like I mentioned earlier, the Quran addresses every single one of us, not just a certain community. It's very easy to point fingers at other individuals. In reality, we need to see, we need to understand and realize what is it that I'm doing wrong? Where can I better my life? Because this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't need to go home all pessimistic today that this was a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we should be optimistic and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us His sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed His sign. But do bear in mind that events occur due to whatever reason. Events occur due to many reasons. Events occur in this world due to many reasons. And we also know these are facts. What happens in the Castro in San Francisco is a reality. That is a fact that exists. We cannot oversee that. We cannot try to ignore it. It's something that happens. The least we can do is at least express our opinion and say, this is something that my faith does not allow. This is something that I do not agree with. Obviously, there's no way that, you know, and our deen does not teach us to go there and physically break things down. Our deen does not teach us that. But the least we can do is express our feelings and say, this is something that my faith does not teach. So this earthquake that happens is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we think that this earthquake was bad, just imagine how difficult the earthquake of the Day of Judgment could be. Right? Just imagine. Now, I could go on. You know, it's and by the way, individuals, we as individuals, if you're here for Salat al-Jumu'ah right now, if you have a beard, or if you're wearing a kufi, or if you're wearing a hijab, or if you normally wear a hijab, that basically means that you are a practicing Muslim. If you're here right now, it's a sign that you are a practicing Muslim. Right? It's a sign that you are a practicing Muslim. Because there's many individuals who are not here. Also bear in mind that many individuals use their faith and religion to fight with other individuals. Right? Many individuals use their religion, even individuals within our own faith, use our own faith to fight with other individuals. Islam teaches us to be kind to other individuals because of the faith that we have. And if we see anything wrong within our own selves, we stop it. You know, what is we speak about an entire science of tasawwuf, of meeting with the shuyukh. What is it that we do? We better ourselves. We begin by bettering ourselves and our community. You know, just this morning, and I haven't had a chance to read it, I received this week's Economist. And the cover story is, it's an 18-page special. New Wars of Religion in God's Name. A special report on faith and politics. Do bear in mind that in the upcoming years, around the world, not only in the United States, faith is going to play a great role in the politics, in the way countries and lands are run. And in order for us to succeed as human beings to begin with, and as Muslims after that, we need to understand the essence of our faith. Sometimes we take parts of our faith, we take a little bit of understanding, and immediately we try to preach ourselves and other individuals, and many a time there is more harm in doing that. We harm ourselves more than benefit ourselves. We need to understand the essence of our faith. The essence of our faith is the remembrance of Allah, is to be conscious of Allah, to ensure that I am taking care of myself, I am taking care of my family, I'm concerned about individuals around me. When you are concerned about another individual without a hidden agenda, we need to have concern. The Prophet ﷺ had concern for individuals without any hidden agendas. Many a times today, we as individuals have concerns with hidden agendas. Maybe this person will do this for me. Maybe this person may hire me. Maybe they will be kind to our cause. Maybe they will let us build a masjid. You have to be. Islam teaches us to be kind to individuals without any hidden agendas. The moment we have that sincerity in our heart is the day we will succeed as an ummah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all courage and strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties and tribulations from everyone on the face of this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all success, both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Bi rahmatika ya